All right, Ray, I understand that your book reasonably illustrates to a person how to get to the point where something, some big breakthrough may occur, how to live long enough to get to that point. But
right. I mean, the subtitle, I think, is instructive, Live Long Enough.
To Live Forever.
Live Forever.
Yeah.
The Live Long Enough is our bridge one, and we do describe in a lot of detail how you can do that. I mean, you can really slow down aging disease processes much more than people realize. And so we provide a practical program for doing that. It's not a single silver bullet or a one-trick pony. I mean, we have a number of ideas here about nutrition and supplements and exercise, but it's quite a doable program.
Ray, what would happen if this magic bullet did appear? I mean, maybe it could appear too soon. At the rate technology is moving, I'm curious what you think would happen if they suddenly found something to turn on or off genetically that would stop aging. Could that magic bullet come too soon for the world?
Well, I mean, these are our second and third bridges. I mean, we feel that biotechnology, which will, you know, give us very powerful new tools to really master biology, will be here in 10 to 15 years. I mean, many of these things are already in the testing pipeline.
That's pretty soon.
And then that'll be a bridge to the third bridge of the nanotechnology revolution. And that really will enable us to rebuild our bodies and brains at the molecular level. And, you know, then there's really no limit to
I've got
how long
that.
We could live.
Right. But could it come too soon? And by that I mean, is society, the world, ready for that kind of incredible leap of technology?
I don't think it's going to come too soon. I mean, I think it's going to come, you know, in a couple of decades, and that's why it's very important, you know, particularly people our age in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, to really be aggressive in taking care of our health so that we'll be in good shape when these things happen. We'll have other developments that will enable us to provide for a larger population. Nanotechnology, artificial intelligence, these developments will provide for very substantial economic growth.
Right. Could it get to the point where somebody who just barely makes it, let's say, and they're 90 years old and along comes a magic bullet, would they then probably be frozen at 90, or would regression be possible?
Depends on when we're talking about. I think within about 20 years, we'll be able to essentially arrest the aging process, which is not one thing. There's a dozen different processes, but we're learning them. We don't understand them fully today, but within 20 years, we'll not only understand them, but we'll have the tools to stop them. If you go out further, so we go out, say, 30 years or more, then we actually will be able to reverse these processes and get younger.
Okay, so the answer is, even if you just barely made it, you would at that point arrest your aging process and you would make it to the next level, correct?
That's correct, but, you know, it's good not to cause, you know, excessive damage to our biological bodies, because some things are hard to reverse. And a lot of these disease processes, you know, they're silent. Like atherosclerosis, people don't notice it. The very first indication that they have a problem might be a heart attack, and a third of first heart attacks are fatal. Another third cause permanent damage to the heart muscle, and that's true that eventually with cell therapies like stem cell therapies or cell regeneration, we can undo that damage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot better and a lot easier and a lot less painful to avoid that damage in the first place.
How damaging are our policies prohibiting some lines of stem cell research?
Well, you know, I'm very opposed to the prohibitions and restrictions. I think stem cell research is very important. Ultimately, the holy grail of sort of cell therapies is something called transdifferentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than taking stem cells, which has somebody else's DNA, you know, what would really be beneficial is to take my own skin cells and turn them into other types of cells, heart cells, pancreatic islet cells that have my DNA, and in the process actually pick ones that don't have any DNA errors, so they'll be DNA corrected, extend what are called the telomeres, which are indications of how old those cells are,
yes,
and create basically youthful, regenerated, DNA corrected cells with my own DNA. Now that's actually been done in a petri dish, scientists just in the past couple of years have actually taken human skin cells and turned them into immune system cells and nerve system cells. Because you know, what is the difference between different types of cells? They all have the same DNA. Different genes are expressed, and we're actually learning how to control that gene expression process. So these are some of the technologies that are in development now that we're learning to master in this second bridge of biotechnology, which is in the early stages, but it's going to progress a lot more quickly than people realize. As we talked about earlier, the power of these technologies is doubling every year. So 10 years from now, it'll be quite phenomenal.
I mean, and is there any Moore's Law involved ahead for this technology? You know, with computer technology, we've got Moore's Law, and it says eventually we're going to hit a brick wall. And
Moore's Law is really just one example of what I call the law of accelerating returns, which is that all information technologies grow exponentially, basically doubling their power every year. And Moore's Law, with regard to computers, means the shrinking of transistors in an integrated circuit. That will hit a wall, but then we'll go to another paradigm, which is three-dimensional molecular computing, which will continue that progression. And Moore's Law was not the first, but actually the fifth paradigm to bring exponential growth to computing. But we also see it in any other area, not just computing. I mean, for example, in biological technologies.
That's what I'm asking about, whether there's the equivalent.
It took us 15 years to sequence HIV. We sequenced SARS in 31 days. That's because we have a Moore's Law for biology. The amount of genetic data that we're collecting and understanding, the price performance of genetic sequencing is doubling every year. We can now, I mean, we're not that far from being able to do a whole human genome for $1,000. That'll be feasible in a number of years. So we're really gaining power over our genes. We've in some simpler animals, we've identified some aging genes in a particular worm. We manipulated these aging genes, and they lived five times longer, you know, equivalent of a 500-year lifespan for
a
human.
Right.
Now, that's a simpler animal than humans. Actually, it's the number of genes it has is not that much lower than humans. It's a fairly modest factor. Now, obviously, these things will take some time to translate into human therapies, and humans have aging processes that these worms don't have, but we're learning to reverse engineer them and master them.